This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. After more than 3 years, the attacks on 9/11 and the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, there was news today of the first departure of a senior member of President Bush's national security team. George Tenet will step down as Director of Central Intelligence next month. As he announced the resignation at the White House this morning, the president praised Tenet for a superb job and said he would miss him. The official reason given is personal reasons, but Tenet and the CIA were under fire for the failure to detect and prevent the terrorist strikes of September the 11th, 2001, for failure to find Osama bin Laden, and for the mistaken assurances about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. George Tenet is credited with important successes, too, for reforms in what many regarded as a Cold War relic, a substantial restoration of morale, and for the agency's widely praised performance in Afghanistan. So why did George Tenet resign? Why now? And what comes next? Call us with your questions. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. NPR's Larry Abramson joins us now here in Studio 3A. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Neil.
And I guess we have to start by asking, did he jump or was he pushed?
Well, we don't know yet. We got the standard Washington explanation. He did it for personal reasons. He didn't say he was spending more time with his family, but it was close to that. I think it was certainly a combination of those things. Tenet had made it known that he wanted to leave, but I think he felt very loyal to this position. And on the other hand, I think that there was a strong feeling on the Bush administration that they didn't want his departure to seem as sort of an admission of failure on their part for the many intelligence failures that we've seen over the last few years. And there have been a lot of them.
In just a moment, we're going to talk with a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee. They're reported to be preparing a blistering report on pre-war intelligence in Iraq. The report of the 9/11 Commission is expected in late July. Does all that contribute to the timing of this resignation?
Well, I think you absolutely have to say this is a good time for this resignation to happen for the administration. As we've heard in recent testimony before the 9/11 Commission, their report is going to be very critical of the way the CIA performed. President Bush has said that he wants to reform, rejigger the intelligence community, and this gives him an opportunity to sort of get out in front of the 9/11 report by taking responsibility for things rather than having their recommendations foisted on them. And now he doesn't have to foist his reform plan onto George Tenet. He might even want to create a new super director of all intelligence across all the intelligence agencies, and that's something that Tenet resisted.
Well, much more about all this in a little bit, but let's turn now to Capitol Hill to get some reaction on George Tenet's resignation. Joining us now is Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat from Oregon. He's a member of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. He joins us from just outside the Senate floor. Senator, thanks for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you.
As we mentioned, the Intelligence Committee is probing pre-war intelligence in Iraq. Given what happened on WMDs, do you think it's appropriate for George Tenet to resign today?
Well, there's no question that this resignation relieves pressure on the administration to make changes at the top after a historic string of intelligence failures from 9/11 to the Iraq WMD debacle. And I guess whether he was pushed out or chose to go will likely never be known, but it certainly makes things easier on the administration now that they don't have to defend keeping him on the payroll.
Is Tenet being, at least in part, a fall guy, or is this a resignation earned, do you think?
Well, in my view, it's not good enough to start rearranging the deck chairs while the ship is going down. This is about more than one individual. We've got a situation where a lot of Americans lost their lives on 9/11, and certainly we're losing dedicated people in the service abroad. So this is about people, and there need to be structural changes in the intelligence community. I think it starts with better information sharing and certainly human intelligence gathering, and this provides a chance to make a fresh start at the top.
Given what you've said and what we heard just a moment ago about the possibility of a restructuring of the intelligence services, might George Tenet wind up being the last DCI?
I don't think that's clear yet, but certainly there's got to be a accountability, and there have been questions, good questions, raised with respect to the incredible failures of intelligence. I mean, with respect to the false assertions on the weapons of mass destruction. I mean, the intelligence that was given was just dead wrong, and as a member of the Intelligence Committee and knowing what I know, the intelligence community needs an overhaul from top to bottom to function in the best interest of the American people, and I wouldn't rule anything out at this point.
I know you've got to run onto the Senate floor, but very briefly, can you tell us what you think will happen when the effect of this resignation on morale in the agency?
Well, I hope that this resignation will initiate a serious push to reform and restructure the intelligence community to face the threats of the 21st century. I think that would be good for morale at the agency, and I think that would be good for the country. What this is about is making America safer in the face of very significant threats, and I think constructive efforts to do that will just improve morale at the agency. I think it was good that George Tenet was well liked at the CIA. I think it was good that he was popular with respect to past presidents. But that's not the central question. It's really what's it going to take to make America safer, and that's why restructuring the intelligence community is so important.
Senator Wyden, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Democratic Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon. He sits on the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence and joined us from just outside the Senate floor where he was being pressed to rush onto the floor and cast his vote. Well, Larry Abramson is still with us here in Studio 3A. And in just a moment, we're hoping to get some Republican response to his the resignation of George Tenet that was announced today. But as you heard Senator Wyden talk about his ideas about restructuring and some of the intelligence failures that they're investigating in the Senate Intelligence Committee, I'm going to ask you that same question. Is it premature to say that this may be the last director of Central Intelligence as we have known it since just after the Second World War?
Well, that's going to be complicated because right now one of the biggest problems with the intelligence structure in the United States is that most of the intelligence assets are controlled by the Defense Department. I think the figure is something like 85% of all the money for intelligence gathering and analysis goes to this black hole, so to speak, the Pentagon. And George Tenet was the DCI over that part of the intelligence budget in name only. So whoever comes in, if they want to get stronger control over the whole intelligence community, they're going to have to wrestle with Donald Rumsfeld, who has taken a very active role in trying to make the Defense Department the leader in intelligence gathering and analysis.
We note that George Tenet was the DCI, or Director of Central Intelligence, for 7 years, the last senior holdover, the only senior holdover in the Bush administration from the Clinton administration. And he really came in at a time well before 9/11,
right,
when the Central Intelligence Agency was still suffering from a lot of budget cuts and a lot of post-Cold War malaise.
Well, according to him, it was on its knees when he defended the agency before the 9/11 commission. He, I think, got a lot of points for saying to the members of the panel, we made mistakes, so did you, meaning members of Congress. Mm-hmm. Many of the 9/11 commission members were members of Congress, for slashing the community's budget after the end of the Cold War. Some people asked, do we still need a CIA after the end of the Cold War? And it takes, as you know, a lot longer to rebuild an agency than it does to break it down. He also pointed to the fact that they had lost most of their human intelligence assets. Most of the spies were gone. They were relying heavily on electronic intelligence gathering. And it's going to take a really long time to rebuild that. They said, I think one of the tales, one of the anecdotes that came out was that there were only four intelligence operatives within the Iraqi government at the time of the Iraq War. So we were greatly impoverished, according to Tenet, in our ability to actually, gather intelligence by hand, which was really supposed to be the spy craft that the CIA had perfected.
And it had perfected that spy craft, but in regards to something called the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact, not very relevant in the post-Cold War world.
No, and let us not forget that that was another historical event that the CIA failed to predict: the demise of the Soviet Union, the demise of Eastern Europe's Soviet bloc. So the agency has been slow to turn this big ship around to adjust to these new challenges, and it remains to be seen whether they have refashioned themselves to fight terrorism.
Mm-hmm. As we look ahead to what might happen, we know that come July, George Tenet will be leaving. He's to be replaced, at least temporarily, by his current deputy.
That's right, John McLaughlin, who actually recently just appeared for one of the first times before the 9/11 Commission. He's a very secret spy kind of guy who doesn't appear in public. He's a 30-year veteran, I believe, of the CIA. He usually is very quiet and under wraps, very scholarly, has worked in the Soviet and Eastern European divisions in his earlier career. I think that that will contribute to stability because we have another CIA man coming in. Mm-hmm. This is somebody who briefed the president when Tenet was out of town, so he's very well-versed in the routines of the CIA director, also clearly supported what Tenet was doing. That may be a reason why he would not possibly be picked for the permanent job if the goal is to get some radical change going in the agency.
One of the things that Tenet was criticized for was his ability to go along or get along with everybody, an asset, of course, bureaucratically, but also he was criticized for bending to the will that he saw coming from the White House and from the Pentagon.
Right, and that they were producing intelligence that the administration wanted to come out. So if you believe there are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, well, that's what the intelligence will end up showing. And I think that when we have confirmation hearings for the new director when he's nominated, that's going to be a pretty important question to be answered. How are you going to produce independent judgment that can be trusted, that maybe goes against what the foreign policy of the administration is? And I think it's also going to be a chance for Democrats to raise this as a political issue once again before the election to say, you know, voters, let us remind you that this administration, in the Democrats' view, used the CIA as a tool for their ideological goals.
Our number is 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join the conversation, or you can send us email, totn@npr.org. And let's take a call from Mohammed, who joins us on the line from Minneapolis.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
My question is that, can intelligence be delivered in a nonpartisan manner? Since Mr. Tenet was appointed by President Clinton, and then he stayed on for the Bush administration's tenure, and it seems like he, like we were mentioning, he really did bend to deliver the intelligence. But when President Bush 41, when he was the when he was director of CIA under President Ford, and when President Carter got elected, he dismissed George Bush Sr. And I have read that he met with Zbigniew Brzezinski, Carter's national security advisor, and Carter, and had asked that if he could stay on for a year to prove that intelligence can be delivered in a nonpartisan way. But they dismissed him. So, and also the fact that George Tenet sat behind Colin Powell in the famous speech that Mr. Powell gave to the UN
Security Council meeting, yes.
Right. So that, you know, mentioning that these are the trucks, these are where we feel that the weapons of mass destruction are, and Tenet was sitting behind him. Was that, again, Tenet bending to the intelligence that was delivered to Mr. Powell by the Pentagon, through Mr. Chalabi? Because it seems like Chalabi and the CIA had a very poor relationship with each other.
Oh, well, a lot of questions there, Larry. Beginning with Mohammed's first question, though, this idea of politically skewed intelligence, that's been an issue with the CIA forever.
Right. And I think just from a bureaucratic point of view, for some agencies, directors are appointed independent of the new administration. For example, the FBI director, after we had a director for life in J. Edgar Hoover, now serves a 5-year term. And there's been overlap in the past between the director who's appointed by one president moving into the next administration. That doesn't necessarily insulate you against political influence, but it's a way to protect against that. I think it is a very good question, and I don't think a perfect system has been devised to ensure that somebody who's politically appointed doesn't carry on with his ideological bent, although, of course, we have all those Supreme Court judges who were appointed by Republicans and then went on to become flaming liberals. You know, you can't be sure that somebody's going to keep their same position.
And, Mohammed, I suspect that the image of George Tenet sitting behind the Secretary of State Colin Powell at that speech at the UN Security Council will be one of the enduring images of his tenure as CIA director and may have contributed to some tension between him and the Secretary of State as well. Thanks very much for the call. We had hoped to speak with Representative Sherwood Bollard of the Republican side on the Intelligence Committee. He was unable to be with us. We'll have more after a break. It's Talk of the Nation, NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. If you're just joining us, President Bush has accepted the resignation of his Director of Central Intelligence, George Tenet. Tenet has been head of the CIA for 7 years under two presidents. He's credited with reforming the agency and building morale, but was also at the helm for the intelligence failures of 9/11 and the more recent controversy over faulty intelligence on Iraqi weapons programs. Our number, if you'd like to join the conversation, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can also send us email TOTN@npr.org. Joining us now to talk about some of this, what was going on behind the scenes at the White House as the decision was being made, is Michael Isikoff, an investigative correspondent for Newsweek magazine. He's with us from his office here in Washington, D.C. Good to talk with you again, Michael.
Good to be with you.
Does anybody believe personal reasons?
Not too many. The timing just seems a bit odd. Tenet had been giving signals that he was planning on leaving for some time. So his resignation per se is not a surprise, but nobody expected it to be now. In fact, the assumption from many of those closest to him who had talked to him and worked with him for years is that he was going to wait until after the election. So why now? One can speculate, but we do know of a couple of reasons. For one thing, the Senate Intelligence Committee is about to release in the next couple of weeks a devastating report on the performance of the intelligence community in the run-up to the war in Iraq, and particularly the faulty intelligence about Iraqi weapons of mass destruction. And they've dissected all of the intelligence that went into the National Intelligence Estimate that was prepared and released by the White House in the fall of 2002, presented to Congress on the eve of the vote for congressional authorization, and the intelligence that went into Secretary of State Powell's speech before the UN. And it just is, according to all sources who have read the report and worked on it, it's just a searing indictment of the agency for relying on very thin intelligence, not properly vetting a lot of these defectors who were supplying stories that have turned out to be or appear to be bogus. And that was going to be a very rough ride for Tenet. I mean, this was going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks. Next month is the report expected from the 9/11 Commission, and it too is expected to criticize the agency very heavily. And so you have those sort of, you know, back-to-back developments coming up, and a White House that, you know, clearly wants to get ahead of the story. Now, there's no indication that George Tenet was pushed out by the White House, but it's also pretty clear that President Bush did not make an appeal for him to stay. And to many people, this looks like a sort of wink-wink, nod-nod arrangement where Tenet, knowing that he was political baggage for the White House, knowing that he's going to get criticized pretty heavily in coming weeks, chose to preempt all that by stepping down himself.
Is there an element of bureaucratic jousting with Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, Secretary of State Powell, most prominently?
Well, sure. I mean, there is a sort of a sense building that somebody has to take the fall for the multiple failures of the policy in Iraq. And Tenet was clearly the most convenient person to do so. For one thing, he's the one member of the inner circle who's not a Bush appointee. He was appointed by President Clinton. Now, President Bush took a shine to him early. They bonded. He was clearly one of his favorites, and he liked him. But Tenet can leave without it appear, without it, it doesn't have the same impact on the White House politically as, say, were Rumsfeld to leave.
Let's get a caller in. Jim joins us on the line from Sausalito, California.
Yeah, thank you for calling. Taking my call. Great show again. Does anyone question the timing in the resignation, given the fact that yesterday the president retained private counsel to advise him if he has to testify before the grand jury investigating the leak of the agency's operative, Joseph Wilson's wife? And apparently Tenet went over last night to have a chat to resign, and I'm wondering if there's a correlation there.
Well, interesting theory. One could, I suppose, conjure up a number of scenarios where there might be a connection, but nothing leaps out on the face of it why one event would be tied to another.
And what we heard from Nina Totenberg's report, and I assume other people's reporting today, was that it's now quite common in this kind of investigation after the Clinton years. We know the president has to retain an outside counsel to represent him if he's going to be asked questions about the Plame affair. That's the name of former Ambassador Wilson's wife.
Yeah, sure. As I say, one can see reasons why the president might need to seek outside counsel, but it's not immediately clear why that would have any direct linkage to Tenet's decision to resign.
Okay. Jim, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And Michael Isikoff, we appreciate your time today as well.
Anytime.
Michael Isikoff is an investigative correspondent for Newsweek magazine, and he was with us today from his office here in Washington. And we do now have Representative Sherwood Bollert, a Republican from New York's 24th District, a member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. And Congressman Bollert, thanks very much for joining us today.
I should say.
Pardon me?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Were you given any notice that the Director Tenet might be stepping aside?
Well, not on a particular timetable. I mean, he has said within the sanctuary of the Capitol, that fourth floor conclave where the Intelligence Committee meets, he's been saying for better than a year that this would be his last year. So the fact did not surprise me. The timing caught me a little bit off guard.
The House Committee, as well as the Senate Committee and the 9/11 investigation, are all preparing various reports on various aspects of intelligence failures over the past few years. How much of those is George Tenet responsible for, do you think?
Well, I think George Tenet, he served for 7 years in two administrations. The president had very kind words to say about his service. I have kind words to say about his service. This is my eighth year on the Intelligence Committee. I know he had a very difficult, demanding job because in the previous administration, I don't want to get political, intelligence was not a high-priority item. In this administration, more resources have been put into intelligence. He's been given more authority. Intelligence is a very iffy business, and I think they've done exceptionally well under very difficult circumstances. They haven't hit a home run every time. We know that.
And if you had to point to something that George Tenet did well, what would that be?
I think he restored high morale to the agency. As David Kaye had said earlier in the day, I saw an interview with him. He said, when Tenet took over, the CIA was an agency headed for the trash heap. And he gave him high marks for restoring the morale of the people, feeling that they were a tighter-knit unit working for something positive and constructive, getting more resources as this administration has provided, given more authority to them, and that's all on the plus side of the ledger.
Would you expect that coming out of all of this investigation of what happened before 9/11 and intelligence gathering before the war in Iraq, the failure thus far to find Osama bin Laden, that there could be some of the fundamental restructuring that so many people, including President Bush, have been talking about?
Oh, I think the restructuring is a work in progress. We've been through, after 9/11, a rather significant restructuring of the FBI, and that certainly was needed. I think the CIA is going to go through some restructuring, too. And one of the things we have to do is pay more attention to human intelligence. We've invested very heavily in technology, so much so that you can have a satellite up in the heavens that can read a license plate number from hundreds of miles away. But we don't have enough people on the ground, what we call the eyes and ears, with language capability, with an understanding of the culture. That is critically important. And under Tenet's leadership, we're building that cadre up. I know the last couple of classes in training at the farm, as we refer to it, have been large and exceptionally talented. So we're not short of people who want to serve the country in this capacity. And I think we're doing a much better job of focusing on the need for increased human intelligence to supplement and support what we get from our technical capabilities.
Congressman Bollert, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Representative Sherwood Bollert is a Republican. He represents New York's 24th District, and he joined us from his office here in Washington. Earlier today, George Tenet announced his resignation to his own staff at the Central Intelligence Agency. Here's an excerpt of what he had to say.
Our record is not without flaws. The world of intelligence is uniquely a human endeavor, and as in all human endeavors, We all understand the need to always do better. We're not perfect, but one of our best kept secrets is that we are very, very, very good. Whatever our shortcomings, the American people know that we constantly evaluate our performance, always strive to do better, and always tell the truth. These are our values as professional intelligence officers. We get up every day with only one purpose: to protect this country and its families. And I believe, to the depth of my soul, that Americans are proud of each and every one of you.
The Director of Central Intelligence, George Tenet, advising his staff at Langley today that he intends to resign in July. He was warmly received as he made that announcement and got very emotional towards the end of his speech. Ron Kessler joins us now, a former Wall Street Journal and Washington Post reporter. He's the author of The CIA at War, Inside the Secret Campaign Against Terror, and he's with us by phone from Washington, D.C., and good to have you on the program.
Ron. Thank you for having me.
George Tenet was often described as Teflon Tenet because none of the criticism stuck to him. So what eventually stuck? Why did he eventually find himself stepping down last night?
Well, if you have kids in college or have had kids in college, that will be the answer. His son is about to become a senior in high school, and they need to, you know, send him to college. His wife, Stephanie, has been agitating for several years for him to leave the job, given the incredible demands. And between that and the financial need, that's what was behind his resignation. He chose a time when things were relatively quiet. He wasn't being criticized quite as much as in the past. And you could tell by George Bush's expression, his emotional reaction, his pain expression, that he, you know, genuinely did not want him to leave.
Mm-hmm. The president unusually bonded to the former administration's director of Central Intelligence and chose to keep him, for 3 years?
Well, as you say, he was a Teflon director. Part of that is that he was very good at cultivating members of Congress, as well as Bush. He would schmooze. He was very candid. But he also did a great job. You know, despite all the public criticism and what you see in the media, the fact is within the CIA, George Tenet was turning this agency around. When he took over in 1997, the number of clandestine officers had been cut by 25% under the Clinton administration, when they should have been increased. The funding for technology had been cut way back, you know, to get better ways of wiretapping, bugging, detecting weapons of mass destruction. And probably most important, there'd been this risk-averse atmosphere imposed by John Deutsch, the previous director, which said, you know, gee, we really are worried about everything. You know, don't take any chances. And that's just what happened. You know, people basically fell asleep at the switch. Tenet turned that around. He started getting more money. He got rid of the rules that created this risk-averse atmosphere, and he created focus. He said publicly that bin Laden is the greatest threat to the United States, so he absolutely understood the threat. But it took a long time to turn around. It's still happening. It takes years to cultivate the sources that you need to get the information about these plots. That, above all, is what was missing, and that's what he was trying to restore.
We're speaking with Ron Kessler. He's the author of The CIA at War. We're talking about the resignation of Director of Central Intelligence George Tenet. By the way, if you want more information on George Tenet and his resignation, you can go to our website at npr.org. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Ron Kessler, George Tenet reportedly told the president at one point it was a slam dunk case that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. These are words that have come to haunt him. Is this a factor in his resignation as damning reports are being prepared in Congress?
Yeah, the slam dunk comment simply summarized everything that the CIA had said publicly in its intelligence estimates. The Iraqi generals themselves said that they thought that they were supposed to use chemical weapons during this last war. So that's how solid, in some respects, the intelligence was. If the Iraqi generals believe that, then, you know, how do you get behind that? There certainly were flaws there. You know, we still have not found the stockpiles, and that certainly is embarrassing, I agree. but they have since then found, you know, additional weapons programs. You know, from my point of view, after 9/11, I think this is the way Bush thinks, you know, we simply can't take a chance that, gee, maybe the Iraqi generals were wrong when they thought that they were supposed to use chemical weapons.
The most recent breach or alleged breach of security involves Ahmed Chalabi, the former Iraqi exile who lobbied so hard to for the removal of Saddam Hussein, now in Iraq, who's said to have turned over the fact to Iranian intelligence that the U.S. had broken some of their intelligence codes. Is this something in which George Tenet was deeply involved?
Well, he was deeply involved in trying to, you know, get rid of Chalabi and make sure nobody listened to him, and so he was on the right side because Chalabi was untrustworthy. I went into that quite a bit in my book. He had been charged with bank fraud in Jordan. He was trying to manipulate different intelligence agencies here, nobody should have been believing him at all.
As we look ahead towards the next phase for the Central Intelligence Agency, we know that Mr. McLaughlin, the deputy DCI, is going to be taking over upon Mr. Tenet's actual departure come July. But given all the talk of structural reform in the air, what do you think is going to be happening? What might the CIA look like a year from now?
I don't think it's going to be very different. The important thing, as I said, is just developing those sources, and that is something that's very labor-intensive. It requires more money to get more clandestine officers, but it requires that support and that focus, and that, above all, is critical. When it comes to just running and making sure the trains run on time at the CIA, the big secret is that it's really run by the executive director, A.B. Buzzy Krongard, who's a former head of an investment banking firm. He had about $80 million, so he didn't really need a job, but he was a black belt in karate. He was very patriotic, and he took this job. So in that respect, the CIA is going to go on as before.
We just have a few seconds left, and I just wanted to reemphasize the point you made at the beginning. Many of us here in Washington tend to be skeptical of leaving for personal reasons. You accept that?
I do, and you're certainly right that usually that is something to be skeptical of, but I've been aware, as the congressman said, for about a year that he was planning to leave. There were the financial pressures. His wife was agitating. And 7 years in that job, which is so demanding, is really an incredible duration.
Ron Kessler, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Ronald Kessler, a former Wall Street Journal reporter and also worked for the Washington Post. He's the author of The CIA at War, Inside the Secret Campaign Against Terror, and he joined us by phone from his office in Washington. When we come back from a break, we're going to continue our conversation about the resignation announced today of the Director of Central Intelligence. We'll also talk about with a veteran who remembers what he was doing 60 years ago today as he prepared to assault Omaha Beach in Normandy. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We continue to discuss the resignation announced earlier today by President Bush of the Director of Central Intelligence. George Tenet will step aside as Director of the Central Intelligence Agency in July. Joining us now on the phone from New York City is Larry Johnson, a former intelligence officer at the CIA. Good to have you back on the program.
Hi, Neil.
Tell us a little bit about what the CIA was like when George Tenet arrived and what's it like as he leaves.
Morale-wise, it was really in the pits because Deutsch was seen as very not only an ineffective director but someone who was being harmful to the interests.
That's John Deutsch, the former DCI,
correct.
Yes.
Correct. And I think George Tenet's left the place in a little better shape, but there's still some very deep-seated problems that are unresolved. Morale within the intelligence officer corps, particularly within the case officers, is real bad. And I know that because I'm in conversation with friends who are both in and getting out. And I just was with one last week who, after 18 years, which is about the point where you've got mid-level people, they have start having experience kick in, this individual is just so fed up with what they view as some of the political pressures, senior management really being out of touch with what the field officers are experiencing, that, you know, this individual is getting out. and went into the private sector.
What do you mean by political pressures?
Political pressures from the standpoint of the internal politics at the building. I mean, it's one of the problems with CIA is, frankly, it's so big, it's become a crusted bureaucracy. And you have a problem that really predated George Tenet and even John Deutsch. It goes back to the Iran-Contra days in 1986, when for the first time, CIA started throwing its own officers overboard. When there's some legal issues that came up, officers who had been out in the field doing what they were told from directors at headquarters ended up being told they had to go get their own attorneys, that the CIA wasn't going to protect them. And so, as a consequence, there's been this looking over their shoulder, constant fear that you take a judgment based upon something that your supervisor told you to do, and then you're going to be held accountable for it, and you have your supervisor not backing you up.
Mm-hmm.
It's that sort of politics of lack of confidence that the leadership's not going to stand behind you.
But internal politics as opposed to pressure from one political
right.
group or another.
Yeah, it's not external politics. This is more just internal. And so, you know, some needs for real fundamental reforms ought to take place. And, you know, unfortunately, George Tenet has not addressed some of those. Just to give you a quick example, they still send overseas senior analysts to be chiefs of station. A chief of station is the person responsible for running clandestine operations in an overseas assignment. And in the past, that was strictly the purview of what they call the case officers, people from the Directorate of Operations. It started under Deutsch, that maybe even started under Jim Woolsey, that they started sending senior analysts out to those positions. That's like sending an Army general out to run an aircraft carrier. Army generals don't know anything about sailing large ships. And this has really created some problems both with in the intelligence officers' ranks, the case officers in particular, and it just sends a signal that you're not serious about human collection.
Let's get a caller involved. Manfred joins us from San Francisco.
Yes, I would like to know why it took Mr. Tenet so long to resign. Shouldn't he really, in all honor, have resigned a year and a half ago? He's been consistently wrong about the things that really mattered. So why did not he have the guts to admit that? And also related to that, why use weasel words like personal reasons when, in fact, we all know that his information was not credible?
Well, I've been a critic of Tenet. I agree with you. I think he should have been fired or forced to resign a long time ago because there were some other not necessarily that he was personally responsible, but because you're in charge, when these things happen on your watch, you need to bear the responsibility for it.
Correct.
That said, I have firsthand knowledge that it really is personal reasons. I mean, you know, put yourself in this guy's position. He's not exactly getting the warm fuzzies every day on the front pages of newspapers and on talk shows. That's number one. The family, it's a one-income family. You know, $150,000 sounds like a lot of money, but when you work 24/7, you get beat up like this, you've got kids getting ready to go into college. You know, as a father, he's a good man. He'd be a good neighbor. I think he... unfortunately, his legacy at CIA is not going to be one that they're going to talk about as have been one of the bright moments in CIA history.
Okay, fair enough. I would just like to see more people in this administration take the responsibility for what has been going on in the last year or year and a half.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Manfred, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And Larry Johnson, we know you've got a flight to catch. We appreciate your time today.
Hey, Neil, thanks for having me.
Larry Johnson was an intelligence officer at the CIA. He spoke to us on the phone from LaGuardia Airport, as a matter of fact, in New York City.